Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
to Wild and Crazy Nights.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Hogan for the win.
We're in a damn corner.
We're going to consistently put players in position to succeed. Most important piece is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hogan.
I don't think that this is a full rebuild, but you definitely have to retool your roster.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Hey, what's up, Flus?
And we're going to have measurable ways for standards of performance every single rep, every single game.
Anyway, who cares?
Now, here they are, the Adams. Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns minus the Hoke. What's up, Kevin Fishbane? Filling in for an under the weather Adam Hogan. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Last week was Hogue's flu game where he powered through and now he's just out.
This dude's been dealing with something for like three,
gotta
4 weeks.
Gotta get better.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe some antibiotics, some rest.
I'm here to step in and talk
like
some
a joke. That's all you got? Okay. Bad setup. Fine. We got a special episode today. Dane Brugler, the man behind the beast, our Athletic draft analyst, the draft guru.
The beast behind the beast.
The beast behind the beast will be joining the show shortly. His information is fantastic. If you missed his last mock draft, he had Caleb Williams going first overall, but also some interesting information in there from his sources around the league on Justin Fields. You know the deal, though. Follow Kevin and I, our work on theathletic.com. Adam Hogue can be found on allchgo.com. Watch him on YouTube. See us on YouTube. Hit that like button. Check out our merch on obviousshirts.com. This is Shane Waldron week, Kev. Let's begin there. Your quick thoughts on the Bears bringing in the former offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks.
Did you guys talk about this on your emergency pod? I know John Greenberg mentioned it. Where will Shane Waldron park for Bears games?
Hopefully not the South lot.
Hopefully not the South. I would imagine they get him better than the Waldron lot.
Yeah.
Think
but
the
if
coaches
you're Shane
get
Waldron,
spot.
Do you just want, out of principle, at least one game to park on the Waldron deck?
I think so. All right, this is all you brought me in for, right? Just a Waldron joke. Now we're good?
Yeah, we're good. No, right. Give me some insight, will you?
All right, here's some insight. You want a fun fact, John C? Mm-hmm. I got you. The Seattle Seahawks last season were 10th in the league in 12 personnel, 2nd in the league in 13 personnel. This is a team that's going to use a lot of tight ends.
So the Bears need more than Cole Kmet.
Yep. Bring back Mercedes Lewis. Invest in a upgrade over Robert Tonyan. All due respect to Robert Tonyan, but I think you might want someone better there. And Cole Kmet's going to be going to catch a lot of passes. Going to be a big part of the offense.
Draft Brock Bowers.
Ooh, there we go. Now we're talking.
It's the Dane episode. Come on.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr., you get him at what, 2, 3, Bowers at 9? And then you trade back to the bottom of the first round. You trade back, you get a second round pick. You trade back in the bottom of the first round, you get J.J. McCarthy.
So where are you? Well, it sounds like you're in trade back camp now. I'm trying not to read too much into what the Shane Waldron hiring means for the quarterback future. I think it works for both, right? If you want to draft a quarterback, Waldron.
I mean, that's what they had to do. I don't think the Shane Waldron hire to me tells you nothing about the Bears' plans. Nothing.
And I think they want it that way.
Yeah. They want us to do podcasts and write stories and keep guessing and speculating and
I don't know if they want that, out. But
well,
they don't want to show their cards.
Listen, Ryan Poles needs something to listen to as he does his pre-draft scouting trips. I'm sure he's going to listen to Hogan Johns. The idea that hiring Shane Waldron means it's going to be Justin Fields or it's going to be Caleb Williams, I think it's nonsense. I think that like they wanted to go hire somebody who is versatile and flexible enough and a good enough teacher that he's going to be good for whatever decision they make. And they probably want someone who, assuming they haven't made the decision, they want someone who they trust to be part of that decision.
Yeah.
I know there was such consternation about and look, we've talked about it, that the Bears haven't been able to align, GM, head coach, quarterback. Well, when you have a defensive head coach, right? Like if you're going to draft somebody, I think it's okay to feel good about aligning GM, play caller, and quarterback for a couple years. And if it works out, it works out. I think that, Waldron worked with Geno Smith. That's going to be the big part of his resume. He also worked with a very young Jared Goff in his starting with Goff's second season in the NFL. So this is somebody that ideally would be, it would be ideal for any kind of quarterback the Bears have.
So we had our friend and colleague, Michael Sean Duggar, on the episode yesterday, emergency episode, and Mike threw a lot of cold water on the hiring of Shane Waldron. I understand it. I think we've been very critical of every offensive coordinator, like even Adam Gase, who went on to get a head coaching job, who has come through here, right? It's always easy to point fingers at the offensive coordinator. What I'm coming to really like about Shane Waldron's background is, forget like Geno Smith for a second. Like he was on the ground floor for what Sean McVay had to turn around what he did turn around very quickly in Los Angeles. He started off as a tight ends coach, I know that, but by year two, he was McVay's passing game coordinator for Jared Goff. Jared Goff had an awful rookie season. Awful rookie season under Jeff Fisher. Year two, things changed immediately. Shane Waldron saw that. He saw what worked. Then he saw what worked year three. And I know things tailed off between McVay and Goff by the end of it, but Jared Goff, still a darn good quarterback. And I don't think he's having this type of story, this type of career arc, if that doesn't happen in the first few years there in Los Angeles. So, like, I like that part of his background. Like, where you see, call it program building, right? Forget the schematics. I mean, that was a full culture turnaround that happened right away in Los Angeles. He saw that from the ground floor up.
You ready for another Shane Waldron fun fact? Mm-hmm. The last time Shane Waldron coached at Soldier Field? December 9th, 2018. Bears 15, Rams 6.
Ooh. It's when Vic Fangio broke Sean McVay's offense and probably started to fracture his relationship with Jared Goff.
Spin zone, that Rams team still went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Correct? And Waldron and that Rams team got very much the better end of things in the next two Bears-Rams meetings that were both in L.A., 2019 and 2020.
One of my favorite parts of the Bears, like, offensive coordinator search. I really like the process. Just a lot of different names, a lot of different not so many different philosophies, but Greg Roman, Cliff Kingsbury, obviously different than the McVay Shanahan tree. But like in 2021, Matt Eberflus coached against Waldron, coached against Olsen, coached against Kingsbury, and coached against Greg Roman all in one season. Like matchup to matchup, X's and O's, DC versus OC. I thought that was a little cool. John's fun fact that I unearthed for my column this week.
I like it.
Athletic.com.
I like it. Cliff Kingsbury 1-0 at Soldier Field as a head coach.
Oh, man, you're just a lot of space up there for
Yeah.
Randomness.
Very random. Very random. I think that, you know, and you were doing this too. I mean, we're talking to people who know these guys better than we do. And it just seemed like of the people the Bears are talking to, Shane Waldron was the one that got the most, yeah, he makes sense. That would work. That would fit. Like, you know, like I don't know. Like, who would have been the guy, to use the polls lingo, that would have blown Bears fans away? I mean, was there one? I mean, would Greg Roman really have?
You could talk yourself into like Zach Robinson, like, oh, he's young and up and coming, but the Bears just went through that, right? Like,
right,
didn't they? Like, wasn't Luke Getsy considered some rising star? That's everything I heard when he was hired.
And like, we also have to start with the fundamental fact that when you're hiring an offensive coordinator, the guy that you're hiring has to be available,
yeah,
right? You know, like, it's – and there's a reason that these guys are available. You know, things – the Seahawks thing with Pete Carroll allowed Shane Waldron to be available. And that was different than maybe some of the other guys who were available because their whole staffs were just fired, you know, or you're trying to promote somebody. So, yeah, I you wrote about this, Johnsy, like the fact that he's got some play calling experience, you know, extensive play calling experience in the NFL.
Yeah. I think the Bears.
And I like when you go back, you know, I'm sure this will come up when we talk to him. Like, the guy started his career with Super Bowl teams in New England. Now, he was like an intern there, low level guy, but he was seeing it. He was seeing how you build a champion with the Patriots in the early 2000s. He's coached receivers, offensive line, quarter, you know, he's passing game coordinator, right? He was a long snapper in college. So there's just I like that there's some versatility, flexibility, kind of keep coming back to those words about him, you know. So there's things to like, but like, I understand the Seattle point of view, but I just think if you look at the candidates the Bears are talking to, like, you know, when you're looking at somebody with experience, and that's, I think that had to be really important. You know, he was right up there.
I think it's also important to hold it in the context of, it seemed like Seattle was just on the verge of change to begin with. I like that Seattle allowed their, like, you have to give Seattle respect for allowing their whole coaching staff to go through interviews, because we're not seeing that play out really in Los Angeles. But like, if you look back at the past couple of years, you know, Geno Smith, for all his success and his career revival with Waldron and, you know, and whatnot, I mean, it just seems to be like a bridge to the next kind of overhaul of their team, right? Pete Carroll, not their coach anymore. Like, you're going through a kind of a major facelift, in a sense, just in terms of really of everything. I mean, Pete Carroll has represented that team for, what, a decade now?
Yeah.
Big change.
And I also think, too, you know, so we're recording this on Tuesday, so Monday night, right, that was when we got the Brian Callahan news for Tennessee. So how many more spots do we still need to fill? Seattle, you know, look at head coaching vacancies still around the league. There's still a few, and those coaches all need to hire offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the Saints are hiring offensive coordinator. They were interested in Shane Waldron. So I think for the Bears to be able to get their guy, get it done, he, you know, try to put together that staff. You got all this stuff coming up with Senior Bowl, Shrine Game this week. You know, I think the timing worked out well for them too.
Before we get to Dane, what do you think if, again, Waldron choosing the Bears over the Saints, you know, who have Derek Carr, albeit statistically at least, a better quarterback than Justin Fields, defensive-minded head coach and Dennis Allen, just like Matt Eberflus, a good defense. Very good defense down there. Like, what do you think drew Waldron, because we're yet to hear from him yet, what do you think drew Waldron to the Bears over the Saints?
Well, if we're going to assume the Saints had an offer, obviously I'm sure the Bears paid a lot more money, because that's how the Bears roll. Maybe they do. I'm trying to get people to get out of that mind, headspace.
They paid Jay Cutler they paid him a lot of money to be a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. Yeah, but you don't think it has anything to do with the opportunity of Fields?
No, I think 100%. I mean, I think that you have the opportunity to either A, as you said, take somebody as gifted as Justin Fields and see what you can do with him, or B, be part of a staff that molds the number one pick in the draft in what is considered one of the better quarterback drafts we've had in recent memory. I think that is a really exciting opportunity to pair with the defense. You come into a situation with a good offensive line, come into a situation with DJ Moore, a bona fide number one receiver. You've got Cole Kmet. You got an established run game there. I think from an offensive coordinator's viewpoint, there's a lot to like about this opportunity in Chicago.
Okay. I agree.
And I agree. I'll throw in one little other note, John Z. Imagine, I make this comment about quarterbacks a lot. I'm gonna make it about offensive coordinators. If you're the offensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears when they finally take off, if you're the offensive coordinator that oversees the Bears finally win because of a quarterback, statues of you. If Shane Waldron succeeds here and the Bears go far because of his play calling, could you imagine?
Well, he'd be a head coach candidate wherever he wants.
He could be here for 2 years and take the Bears to new heights. It's a very low bar here in Chicago.
Adam Gase got Jay Cutler to a 92.3 passer rating.
They got a head coaching job.
Two.
The opportunity here is golden, Shane Waldron. And
That would be my selling point. If I'm Ryan Poles, I would just, you know, bring a Pro Football Reference, circle 92.3 in Jay Cutler's page, and like, hey, Adam Gase became a head coach at two different places.
They would rename the Waldron lot the Shane Waldron lot at Soldier Field.
Yes, they will. Yes. Or in Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
The opportunity. It is here. All right. Speaking of opportunities, let's bring in Dane Brugler. We always enjoy our conversations with him. You know his work well at theathletic.com. He is our draft guru, Dane Brugler. All right, let's bring in the beast himself. Dane, what's going on? How close are you right now to being finished with that beast that you work on so much?
It's a living document. Up until we get to the end, it's just, you hit a point where it's like, all right, there's just nothing else we can do. It's ready to go. So until we get to that point, it's hard to say. I get anxiety just thinking about it. But, you know, we're at the point in the process where we're taking steps, right? Where tomorrow I get on a plane, head to Dallas for the East-West Shrine Bowl. Then from there, I'm going to Mobile for the Senior Bowl. So some of these all-star games, we've already had the Hula. We've already had Gridiron Showcase. So, you know, we're going through all-star season, and that's a big step in the process. After that, we'll have our sights set on the combine. So we're moving through.
It's flying by right now, yes. Right? At least I feel like it is when you hit the NFL playoffs. Last time we talked to you, you had Drake May, I believe, number one in your rankings. And then the mock draft that came out last week, it was Caleb Williams first overall. So can you take us inside your brain, like the back and forth that you're experiencing over the top two quarterbacks in this class?
Yeah, so when I came out with my updated top 50, so I've done two top 50s. I did one in August, then I did an updated one in November. In August, Caleb Williams was number one. In November, I bumped Drake May up to number one. And then, I've done two mock drafts so far. I did one December, right after Thanksgiving, and then one last week. Caleb was number one to the Bears in both of those mocks. I through the whole process, I think he is clearly the favorite. You know, we'll see if that's how it finishes. But I think Caleb Williams is clearly the favorite to be the first quarterback drafted. As for my own personal rankings in my top 50, I'll have an updated top 100 coming out here pretty soon. I do think Caleb Williams will be back at number one. And part of that is just the way the season finished. I don't think either quarterback finished the way they wanted to. But some of the things on the Clemson tape, on the NC State tape for Drake May were a little bit concerning. And, you know, that's the, when you do something like this, you don't want to react game to game. It's about body of work. But these guys are so close to me in terms of their overall grade that these little games that, or, you know, these games with these little things, these little mistakes here and there, concern you to a certain degree. And with Drake May, I don't think the North Carolina offense helped him much at all. You know, some of his receivers are quitting on routes. The offensive line can't block anybody. NC State wanted that game more than North Carolina. So, you know, I don't think it's all on him. But there are some parts of his game that just give you a little bit of pause. But he's a young player. He's a redshirt sophomore. Still learning. Still kind of working through things. I would not hesitate to draft Drake May with a top three pick. And because you know, when it comes down to it, when you draft a quarterback early, it's about making a bet. You know, I'm going to make a bet on this quarterback being a top 10 quarterback in the NFL at some point during his rookie contract. You know, the Texans made a bet like that with C.J. Stroud. It's working out okay. Panthers did that with Bryce Young. Not so much. So to this point. So with these quarterbacks, I would be fine making that bet on one either, and I'd throw Jane Daniels in there as well. I'd be fine making a bet on one of those three quarterbacks with a top 10 pick with the idea that there is a path to them becoming a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Now, where the Bears fall in terms of their pecking order of these quarterbacks, you know, I think they're still working through that. A lot of different ways to do that. It's a fact-finding mission. The combine will be a big piece to that, especially now with new OC involved, you know, the coaching staff getting a chance to sit down, talk to these players. So we're still in the midst of the process. You know, the scouts have been on the road, obviously. Ryan Poles has done his work on these guys. But now this is when the coaches really get involved, and that's a big piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, Dan, I wanted to ask you about the combine because at least for those top three quarterbacks, that's their next big, you know, step in this mm-hmm. process because they're not going to be at the Senior Bowl. And is for Ryan Poles talks so much about evaluating the quarterback as evaluating the person. He really emphasized that with us last week, a couple weeks ago when we talked to him. And I know Caleb Williams, Drake, there's been a lot about Caleb Williams' personality, and probably most of what we hear probably isn't true. I think no one really truly knows about him yet. And is the combine for those three guys so much going to be about that personality, about these teams getting to know them? Like, are there things physically that you think scouts are going to want to see from them there? Or is there going to be more about those conversations?
Yeah, it'll definitely be the interviews, and both from a X's and O's standpoint, when they put these guys on the board, on the whiteboard, and say, you know, draw me up your best play. You know, third down and 12. What do you want to do? You know, what's your go-to play in this situation? You know, if the defense is showing this look, what's your answer to that? You know, going through all those different scenarios, that's a big part of this. But then to your point, so is the just the personal aspect of this. It's the quarterback's an intangible position. It's something that you have to be comfortable with the person, the competitor, the way he carries himself, the way, you know, all those things factor in. And that's something that, you know, these we don't have access to these meetings, so we don't know exactly how they go. You know, some guys are really good at turning it on in meetings. Some guys maybe don't interview as well. You know, it's an interesting part of this whole process that there's different layers. Different coaches will come away with different opinions on guys from this being in the same meeting. So this is definitely a big piece to the puzzle. You know, obviously, you want to get the talent right. You want a guy with traits. You want a guy that has put it all on tape. But then, you know, that's just part of it. You have to be comfortable with the person. You know, is he going to be a guy that could come into a locker room full of 28, 29-year-old veterans and be the guy and not flinch? You know, C.J. Stroud was able to do that. But, you know, it takes a certain type of person to be able to do that. And, you know, I think there's nothing about Caleb Williams or Drake May or even Jane Daniels that says they can't do that or give me concern, give me any pause. But especially Caleb and Drake, these guys are both third-year guys. They're still young, still working through things. You know, they battled some adversity this year with how their teams performed. So how are they better for it now as we go into the draft process? So this will be a big part of the combine, no doubt.
Two-part question for you, Dane. You had this line in your mock draft about how, well basically the NFL feels like the Bears are going to trade Justin Fields. Maybe take us through that, at least that thought process out there across the league. And then, like, how would you characterize the separation from May to Daniels and then to McCarthy?
Yeah, and doing a mock draft, I never do a mock draft with just my own personal rankings or anything like that. I do my mock draft based off of what I'm hearing from people around the league, what they think is going to happen, and when I ask around about Chicago, I kind of get the same answer. Like, you know, I think they're going to take quarterback one, trade Justin Fields. And when I get the, I ask, you know, why, and I follow up on that, it's kind of a similar, well, that's what I would do. Or, you know, that's the smart move. That's what, you know, if I'm Ryan Poles and I'm in his position where I haven't had a bite at the apple in terms of drafting my own quarterback, I'm trying to build something here, and we've built up this roster to a point where we think we're ready to compete. But the quarterback, this is a chance to reset the quarterback clock. It's a chance to get a more consistent option, maybe not in year one, but in over the life of his rookie contract, over the next 2 to 3 years, we feel like we're upgrading at the position. So, you know, that was kind of the response from a lot of people. It's no one said, you know, Ryan's definitely going to do this. So that I think that, you know, Brian's going to do at the end of the day what he thinks is best for the organization. And I don't think he's arrived at that point yet. We're still early in the process, but, just based off of what other teams think he's going to do, that's to draft a quarterback one. So it does get really interesting. It's just such an interesting scenario when you talk about the contract, how that's involved, the way that the fan base has rallied around Justin Fields. And, you know, that's obviously you don't make a decision based off of that, but it's just another layer to this whole conversation. And so it really is a fascinating spot to be in, but it's a spot of power. And so I think a lot of teams would be envious to be in that same spot. It's not the worst situation to be in. I'm sorry, what was the second part?
And then, like, I was curious, like, let's say the Bears wait, and maybe they want Marvin Harrison Jr. at one. And then you have that ninth pick, which is also, again, top 10. You're in the range for maybe Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy. I'm just curious, like, how much have they improved their standing, especially McCarthy with the national championship and whatnot?
Well, we just got done talking about the intangibles and how important that is. That's what's going to sell a lot of teams on J.J. McCarthy. I can, you know, just feel the listeners rolling their eyes right now. Quarterback win-loss record, it's a thing for teams. And if you're a proven winner, that's something coaches especially will gravitate towards. And J.J. McCarthy, 36-2 as a starter in high school, won a state championship. 27-1 at Michigan, won a national championship. The success he had against Ohio State, the success he had winning Big Ten championship games. This is a guy that has done it. And no, it's not all been on him in terms of pushing the ball downfield and the offense really relying on him to be the savior. That's not how Michigan operates, but third down, fourth down, late game situations, he consistently shows up. And he just turned 21 a couple days ago. This is a young player who has a lot of tools to work with. Needs to get a little bit bigger. Scouts say he was probably around 200 pounds this year. The arm is good. I mean, not elite, but it's good enough, certainly good enough for the NFL. Now it's just a question of, okay, the intangible factor, how much does that play into this? Because, you know, this is a guy that grew up playing hockey most of his life. That's where the toughness comes from. You know, you go back to high school. I mean, one of the big recruiting stories for him coming out was how it was like the week before, his junior year, week before the state championship game, he breaks his thumb in his throwing hand. And they told him, you know, we need surgery, we'll shut it down, all this, that. He's like, no, I'm playing. Goes out, has a productive game. They win the state championship. He has surgery the next day. So, you know, and that was something that sold a lot of college programs on McCarthy as a recruit. And that's the type of story that's catnip for NFL coaches and things that, you know, they'll really gravitate towards. So I think at the end of the day, JJ will have mostly second round grades, but in the NFL draft, second-round grades at quarterback usually means you're going in the first. Yeah. Teams trading up or whatnot. So that'll be interesting. And then, you know, with Jaden Daniels, I mean, nobody helped himself more than Jaden Daniels this year with what he did. And I think you're encouraged by the last 2 years at LSU. It's the first time he's had the same coordinator and offensive ecosystem back-to-back years. And I think, you know, what we saw was a product of that. I'm big on explosive plays at quarterback. I think those translate. Jaden Daniels accounted for 90 plays of 20 plus yards just this year, by far the most in the FBS. And to put that into context, Joe Burrow in his Heisman winning, national championship winning season a couple years ago at LSU, he was like at 87 plays of 20 plus yards. So Jaden Daniels had three more, plus Burrow did in 15 games. Jayden Daniels did that in 12 games. So the what he offers with his legs and then with his arm, that's big for his evaluation, because whenever I talk to scouts about Daniels, a lot of them bring up Lamar Jackson. It's not an apples to apples comparison, but just the way defenses have to prepare for you and defend you because you are a legitimate threat with your legs. Jayden Daniels had over 1,000 yards rushing this year. So he is a legit threat to, as a mobile athlete to go make plays. But then he can also, the strides he made with his arm, especially as a downfield thrower, on throws of 20 plus yards this year, 22-0 touchdown interception rate, 67% completions. So the processing got better. The downfield accuracy got better. I do think he benefited quite a bit from the supporting cast. His offensive line was outstanding this year. Two first-round wide receivers he was throwing to with Neighbors and Thomas, and then two other receivers that'll get drafted next year. So if you swapped Drake May and Jayden Daniels, what would that look like? Would Drake May be the Heisman Trophy winner? Would Jayden Daniels have anything close to this type of success with that supporting cast with the Tar Heels? I mean, that's kind of it's a tough question to answer, but as an evaluator, you kind of have to look into your crystal ball and try to answer the tough questions like that.
I think the best thing to do now, Dane, is transition from the most important position in the field, quarterback, to the guy snapping him the football, because it's Senior Bowl time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be down there with you in Mobile next week. Bears fans are obsessed with the center position. It's an important mm-hmm. position in Chicago. It's one of their draft needs. I know Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon seems to be getting a lot of love from Bears Twitter. Just curious, both Senior Bowl centers to watch, but also kind of that position generally. I don't know if you had anybody with a first round grade there, but who are some of the guys to watch at that spot?
Yeah, this is a big opportunity for Jackson Powers Johnson at the Senior Bowl because, well, first of all, first year we're seeing juniors, true juniors at the Senior Bowl, and Jackson Powers Johnson's one of those guys. Today's his 21st birthday, so young player. Had an outstanding season this past year as the starting center for Oregon. First year starter, it was kind of a backup guard last year. But good luck finding bad tape on this guy from this year. I mean, I don't think he was truly challenged by the defensive tackle play in the Pac-12. But, you don't take away from the fact that his tape was outstanding. But going down to Mobile now, my top three centers are Jackson Powers Johnson, Graham Barton from Duke, college left tackle who's going to move inside, and then Zach Frazier, West Virginia center. Both Barton and Frazier are hurt. They will not be playing at the Senior Bowl. So this is a big opportunity for Powers Johnson to kind of, he's already up there in terms of the rankings with scouts and teams, but this is a chance to really plant the flag as, hey, I'm the top center this year. This is why I belong. Somewhere in the top 25, 30 picks. But it's something that I'm excited to see him down there for. And then with Barton and Frazier, not being able to participate, will that hurt them at all in terms of going in the first round? The Bears, obviously, they pick first, ninth, and then what's their next pick? 60-something. Yeah, late 60s. So, it's how do you maneuver to get that center? Because I don't think any of those three guys, I'd be shocked if any of those three guys fell to the early third round. So do you trade back with that ninth pick? Do you, try to trade up from the third round? The next best center after that's probably Cedric Van Pran from Georgia, who I think gets a little bit more love than is warranted. He's a good player. I think can compete for starting reps, but he's more of a third, fourth round guy as opposed to a second, third round guy. So those top three centers, they're kind of not having that second round pick, kind of that shows up big if they really want to come away from this draft with a center.
With all the tape in at this point, who's your favorite pass rusher?
I think in terms of upside freakiness at the position, I think you have to go Dallas Turner. He moves like a linebacker, but the burst off the edge, the way he plays the run, he plays like a defensive end. And I really like that fit in Chicago with him opposite Montez Sweat. I think it works really well. But he's also not a finished product. I think he still has a ways to go. If you're looking for a guy that is closer to being more polished, then Liatu Latu from UCLA is definitely the guy. He's, I mean, his comparison is John Wick, you know, because he's not physically imposing. You know, he's not a guy that you look at him and say, oh, this is a dude, just by the way he looks on the sideline. But then the instincts that he plays with, the handwork, the way his understanding of move-to-move transitions and counters, it's really advanced. And so the medicals will be big with him, but as long as the medicals are clean, he's a guy that should be in that conversation as well.
Go ahead. Yeah, one more quick one, Dane, about the draft prospects. X wide receiver spot, I feel like a perfect complement to DJ Moore would be one of those big body guys. I mean, I'm watching Mike Evans over the weekend. I know you're not going to get Mike Evans, but just having that guy opposite DJ Moore would make a lot of sense for the Bears. Who are maybe some wide receivers in those, you know, first three rounds that might fit that mold?
Yeah, and I mean, I think obviously, if you can come away with one of those top three guys at pick number nine, I mean, I think you do that all day because these guys are different. Marvin Harrison Jr. obviously is not going to fall that far. And I don't think Malik Nabers to me is a top five pick in this draft. Where are the limitations? I mean, someone's going to have to explain those to me because I don't see them. He's 20 years old, and the production he put up this year, the most explosive player in college football this year, he was outstanding, and he's going to get better and better. And, you know, you see he's a product of 7-on-7, and you see it with the way he plays. He'll go up and win at the catch point, gets open, can create after the catch. Malik Nabers is a dude. And then Roma Dunze, with his ability to play through contact and his route athleticism, just very, very quarterback-friendly. And what that could mean for a rookie quarterback. So if you have a chance to come away with one of those three guys, I think you have to be all over it. And even, you know, Brian Thomas from LSU, I think the other LSU receiver, he's close to being in that top tier as well. If he ends up being a top 15 pick when it's all said and done, that wouldn't be surprising at all. He's 6'4", close to 210 pounds, big time speed, big time basketball athlete in high school, and you see that with the way he plays. I'm very bullish on his future. But you know, this is every year we talk about the receiver position being deep. This year is not any different. In my two round mock, I had 11 guys going in the first two rounds, and there were some guys I hated leaving off that, you know, were, if they're still available in the third round, you know, you're feeling pretty good about that. So and if the Bears end up going quarterbacks and say pass rusher with their first, there are two picks in the top 10. Say they wait on wide receiver. If we're looking at early third round, I think Devontae Walker from North Carolina would be a possibility. Xavier Leggett maybe from South Carolina. Leggett is kind of in that DK Metcalf type of receiver where he's just big and imposing, but he's got straight line speed to burn, might run in the 4.3s for a guy that's 6'1", 220 pounds, not quite the size of DK Metcalf, but that type of player. So, you know, he could be available there in the third round. But, you know, it's a strong wide receiver group, and we could see the Bears be in a position where if we need to move up 20 spots to get our guy, you know, whether that's one of the Texas receivers, you know, Adonai Mitchell Troy Franklin from Oregon with what he can do. You know, if you one of these explosive receivers on the outside, maybe you go get that guy, trade up from the third round, how important that could be for your quarterback's development. You shouldn't hesitate to go make that move if a certain guy falls in that 50 to 60 range.
Dane? Thank you so much. Thanks as always for making so much time, you know, for us. And we know you're busy as hell right now. So safe travels. Hopefully it's not icy and cold. Well, you're going south, so you should be all right. It's not as bad as what we're dealing with.
Yeah, it might be a little chilly, but it beats the ice and the single digit temps that we've been having up here in the north. So I appreciate it.
Escaping it this week.
Yeah. Well, hey, before we know it, we'll be in Indy with some frigid temperatures talking about a lot of the same stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Sounds good, Dane. Thanks, as always, Dane. Man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But that's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces that work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The commuter collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The commuter collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Dang, Brugler, everyone, Gav, he's just a beast with the info himself. I know he's working on his yearly project, and there's a lot of information that goes into it. But I just love name after name after name. Like, I go back and listen to this podcast and just, like, take notes on what he's saying, you know, even before the beast comes out. Just an encyclopedia of draft info at this time.
You know, what's great about Dane is you trust his eyes in terms of the way he watches tape. But you also know he's talking to scouts, he's talking to personnel evaluators, he's talking to college coaches, he's talking to college strength coaches. You know, he's doing all the research that teams are doing so that when the beast comes out, we've got the best information possible. So, yeah, he's a wealth of information all the time. And, yeah, it's going to be three more months of Dane all the time.
Yeah, he's mastered the tees, right? He's got top 50s. He's had a couple of those come out. He's got a top 100 then coming out this week. Maybe I could be wrong, but we're into the bowl game season. You know,
it's draft season, baby.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's the best time of year if you're a Bears fan.
Yeah. You know, well,
listen, if you're a Bears fan, January is about the draft, not the playoffs. At least the past you know, in the post-Lovey era.
Past forever.
Yeah. So, and I selfishly was, you know, I'm going to be down at the Senior Bowl, so I want to do a little homework on who I should kind of keep an eye on down there. So he helped me out with that.
So when he's taking you through the centers, like how much do you think that Ryan Poles thinks that he needs a second round pick?
So, you know, it's funny, Johnsy, when they traded for Sweat, I remember, you know, I was texting a bunch of people in the league, you know, what they thought about the pick. One person said to me, they go, I wonder, and everything can change, in even on draft day. He goes, I wonder if Poles knows in the back of his mind, I'm probably going to trade back and get that second round pick back. You know?
Trade back again, from that's one. Just some,
or nine.
Or nine.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to probably do an impressive move back to get a two. But you could get a three, and then you got two threes. You can maneuver again. This was just someone kind of speculating, like we all do with this stuff. But you do wonder if he's going to find a way to get in that second round. And, yeah, you hear Dane talk about the centers. If that's where Ryan Poles wants a center, that you know, hearing Dane talk about the kid from Oregon, 21 years old, and that's the type of player who needs the Senior Bowl, right? You know, Dane talked about the Pac-12. Not the best interior defensive line competition comes to Mobile. You know, but shoot, he can find himself at the back of the first round if he plays well too. So yeah, I'm like that. That's a position that kind of fascinates me a little bit to see what direction the Bears go. Cause you can make the argument if you feel good about Braxton Jones and Nate Davis, you can argue they're a center away from being a really good offensive line.
I would like that to be a rookie too. Like I don't know if it's just the
wouldn't that be yeah
the whole Cody
I mean think about
White
that you'd have
experience or
you'd have four guys on rookie deals.
Yeah.
Now Tevin Jenkins will be the final year of his, but still you'd have four guys under 25 up there.
Yeah, and I've long thought that Tevin Jenkins, I think he's a second contract candidate if he could just stay healthy. Maybe yeah. That helps the Bears, at least for maybe another shorter-term deal. But I think even Ryan Poles is—I know it. He's been extremely impressed by what Tevin Jenkins has become at guard. And you know it, and I know it. That offensive line is better with him. I just think like enough of experimenting with guards or I don't know who you can sign. I haven't compared or contrasted the free agency class with the draft class yet, but— That's way down the road. Maybe something for you at Senior Bowl week, but I like the idea of drafting a center. Like, just draft a sure center. Not someone you can move to center, but someone with center experience already who really personifies and embraces that position. Like, I think it's well past time.
You look at Kansas City. They went out and drafted Creed Humphrey. And you look at what he's done with that group. I mean, even the Eagles, when they had Kelsey, drafted a center. Right. You know, and you look at the way they've built up their offensive line and what the Eagles have been able to do over the past few years. So, yeah, I mean, you go through it. You see how teams like that was a complaint, a frustration with the previous regime is they did not, you know, they yeah, Cody Whitehair was the big one, but there wasn't a ton. James Daniels. Trying to think of who else they
I just don't think centers like the good ones don't change teams a lot. Do right. They? No. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Yeah. I mean, you can look at Jason Kelsey right now.
There is no way Philadelphia is letting him go. No way. Just in terms of, you know, especially the inside-out philosophy, if you have that, just I don't think they switch teams a lot. Maybe you get them in their 30s after, like, second contracts, but maybe we have to do a little research. But I don't think they switch teams a lot.
Back to our conversation at the top, the other thing I asked Dane about was that X receiver because you know I've seen people who are I don't know if they're actual Shane Waldron experts or becoming Shane Waldron experts in the last 24 hours. They've talked about that big bodied receiver for that scheme for that offense, and a couple of the guys that Dane mentioned are going to be down at the Senior Bowl. Leggett from South Carolina, he mentioned Tez Walker, North Carolina. So be curious to kind of watch those guys and because yeah, I mean just. Like, don't you think that if Chase Claypool was Chase Claypool, what a great pairing that would be with DJ Moore? And I don't know. I was.
I know
I'm
what
watching
you're saying, but at this point, Chase Claypool is
Right, but like, that, but somebody,
Chase Claypool.
Yeah, somebody built like Chase Claypool who can do the things Chase Claypool is physically capable of doing. Imagine that. I mean, you were watching Tampa Bay. You're watching Mike Evans. I know it's hard. I'm talking about a Hall of Famer when I'm talking about Mike Evans. But shoot, you know, think about somebody who can do some of that stuff opposite DJ Moore. What that can mean for the offense, and you can find a spot still for Tyler Scott.
Yeah, are you telling me that you're in the let's get some help for Justin Fields camp right now?
I'm just trying to get wide receivers. Could be for Justin Fields. Could be for Caleb. What's a great thing to get your rookie quarterback? A big body wide receiver who catches everything.
What about the philosophy that you could get them? You could find good ones at various points in the draft. I don't think Ryan Poles has proven that, but maybe maybe the Rams have.
Get them in the third or fourth round.
Cooper. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you can find great. I mean, you can find great wide receivers. There was that run of day two guys: DK Metcalf, Devontae Adams, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown. Weren't all those guys second round guys?
Yeah, yeah. There's been a lot of good second round receivers.
Got to get that second round pick.
They need that second round pick, and I think the Bears want one. Right? Why wouldn't you? But how are you going to get it?
They don't grow on trees.
No.
Got to go find it.
What are your plans for the Senior Bowl, my friend?
I'm going to go to Mobile. I'm going to watch ball. Going to talk ball. I'm going to listen.
To ball.
To ball. The Senior Bowl, John Z, this is, I don't know if this is exciting, cool, aging me, or sad. It's been my 9th career Senior Bowl.
I haven't been back in a bit. I think next year I have to get back.
You know, it's good to watch. You know, it's good to watch the practices. So I'll be, I'm going to try to head into the week with, 15, 20 players kind of circled, but then also obviously keep my eyes open if the guy flashes. You know, last year, Tank Dell was the guy who was phenomenal during Senior Bowl week, went on to the Houston Texans.
Turned out to be a pretty darn good receiver.
Yeah. And then, Darnell Wright was noticeable. At the Senior Bowl, and Matty Eberflus and Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham are watching that offensive line, and I'm sure. So here's a fun thing. Bears tight ends coach Jim Dre is going to be coaching the offensive line for let's see what team he's got.
Said the offensive line?
The offensive line. Yes, Jim Dre will be coaching the American team offensive line. He will be coaching Jackson Powers Johnson.
Ooh,
the Oregon center.
I love it. So and isn't their assistant defensive line coach?
Yes, Justin Hines. Justin Hines will be down there. He'll be coaching the defensive line. That just got announced this morning.
And Dave Borgonzi is the defensive coordinator this week.
At the Shrine Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Bears are going to have eyes everywhere.
I wonder how that works. We need more information on that. Like,
is there list?
I imagine all teams want,
the coach has to want to do it.
Yeah.
Well, also, if you're Justin Hines, you're an assistant defensive line coach. This allows you a chance to, run a D-line. If you're Dave Borgonzi, you're a linebackers coach. You get to be a DC for the week. Luke Getsy was the head coach last year. So, yeah, it's a good experience for them. So I'll be watching all those players. Some of the most worthwhile parts of these trips is, talking to league sources late at night on the streets of downtown Mobile and see what everyone's hearing and what they're all thinking about the Bears.
It's the start of the rumor mill.
It's the most wonderful time. It's speculation season, baby. Got 3 months of mock drafts. You can do who the Bears are going to sign in free agency. They got to trade the number one pick.
Are you disappointed Jaden Daniels won't be there?
Yeah, well, it's Jaden January for me. He's my guy for January. So I'm a little disappointed. So I might switch January to maybe it'll be a little Bo Nix. Maybe he'll be my guy for next week. Or Penix, whoever plays better.
Did you like how Penix and Nix are teammates?
Yeah. Interesting.
Fun.
I got to find a month for J.J. McCarthy, though. I got to find a J.J. month.
Okay, what did you think of
McCarthy
what
March.
Said? What did you think of what Dane said?
Boy, first of all, he nailed it. Bears fans are probably going to roll their eyes at it. But, you know, there's something
like
to be...
Is that like an anti-Michigan sentiment more than anything?
I mean, maybe. The thing with J.J. McCarthy is like, the guy just, he didn't necessarily put up great stats, except for the wins. But that, that doesn't mean he's not capable of it, right?
Well, his numbers on third down are absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, he was so good on third down. I think that, like, these teams, you know, when he and Ryan Poles really emphasize the person, like, these teams are going to fall in love with J.J. McCarthy. His intangibles, he's a winner, won the state title, goes out and wins a national championship. Like, there is something to be said about bringing a guy like that in your locker room and feeling good about it. And, you know, we've had so many Bears fans this season point to the 49ers, right? Where they don't have the most athletically gifted thrower in football. And look at them. You know, they've pointed to the Eagles getting Jalen Hurts in the second round. Well, if you're in that realm, and those people are doing that of the perspective that keep Justin Fields, you don't need to have a top five quarterback, you can still win. But you can also make that same argument with someone like J.J. McCarthy. Now, I have no idea if like where he's going to go, how it's all going to work out, but I'm just saying I can understand why teams are going to get really excited after talking to him.
You're saying that he could end up in an extremely beneficial situation.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Steelers?
Yeah. I mean, look, you put a guy like J.J. McCarthy behind a better Bears offensive line with a guy like T.J. Moore and a good defense, like, you know, you're asking him, just don't turn the ball over, make good plays on third down, we'll do the rest. Not to mention, again, we haven't seen his potential. So I'm talking myself into it now.
Yeah. I think what's always struck me about J.J. McCarthy is just his age relative to the rest of his draft class. He is years younger than guys he's being compared to, right, at his position. Years younger. Like Jaden Daniels is what, 24? Will be 24? Years younger. Like different experiences. Jaden Daniels obviously didn't start his career at LSU. J.J. McCarthy stuck with Michigan. And I don't know, maybe it's just that Jim Harbaugh is such a hot topic. Like, it's just been Jim Harbaugh's year, right? He's just been everywhere. And when I go down to the Big Ten Championship and he talks the way he talks about J.J. McCarthy, but then you look up, he's been continuously like this. And I know he talks up his guys, but, like, this is different. Like, if you believe in Jim Harbaugh as a coach, then you're buying what he's selling on J.J. McCarthy, at least in some capacity, for your draft evaluations. Like, that's part of your notes, right? Being able to deal with Jim Harbaugh and all that he brings, good and bad, like, that's a positive for me in the J.J. McCarthy draft evaluation.
You want to, we'll do a little news here while sticking with the Senior Bowl conversation. Okay. Reports are out that Shane Waldron's starting to at least have interviews for his staff. One of the people he is reportedly interviewing, I want to make sure I credit Jonathan Jones, CBS, Kerry Joseph, who is going to be in Mobile as the quarterback's coach. He was the Seahawks assistant quarterback's coach last season. Reportedly, one of the guys Shane Waldron's interviewing as he builds his staff. Kerry Joseph will be... He does not have the Penix Knicks team. He's got Michael Pratt, Joe Milton, Carter Bradley, and Spencer Rattler.
Just the name power. Just feels different right off the bat.
A little
right?
bit, yeah. Doesn't yeah, it? Yeah, those are day three guys probably.
But hey, who knows? Well, have fun in Mobile, man. Thanks for hopping on for a sick Adam Hoge. It's been fun.
Draft get better, stuff. Hoge. Do you think he's sick probably because he does 27 podcasts a week and has to spend so much time with Mark Carmen?
Yo, I was going to say Greg Braggs. We're kidding. We love you guys. Adam needs to shut up for a little bit. Not this Adam, the other Adam.
Rest that voice.
Yeah. I'm screaming too much. But Thanks, man. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thank you to Dane Brugler again. Follow him on X. You know, you already are. He's got tons of followers. His top 100 will be out soon. The Beast will be out soon. Kevin will have coverage for The Athletic on TheAthletic.com next week. From Mobile, Alabama, Veets. What's the other one? Battle House. And why am I blank? Winsels.
Winsels.
Oyster House. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice fried food coming up for your diet.
Yes.
Dreamland. What's Kent talking? What's Dreamland?
It's another spot down there. Barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Forgot about that.
I like Saucy Q BBQ down there.
Saucy Q? Saucy Q is all about timing, though. Is that still the case? You got to time it right or the entire NFL world will be in there during the lunch hour.
Yeah. I found a new place, a biscuits place last year that was really good. They practice on the other side of town than from when you went there. So Saucy Q BBQ used to be on the way to practice.
Yeah.
Now it's a different side of town, so it's a I gotta learn the new restaurants. But I'll be sure to fill you guys in. This is what the listeners want.
Chicken tender place. Fusackley's?
Fusackley's, yes. Salad spot.
Very good.
Solid. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right, man. Have fun in Mobile. Thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back next week. Cab, this is where you say see ya.
See ya.
I don't know. What's up yours?
Hey, football fans. This is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.